beckons on tonight's Treat for Bookworms.
So what do people do for fun around here, she asked.
On BBC Radio 4, the new novel by Sally Rooney.
Are you shy, he said. You tell me. They looked at one another. I think you might be, he said.
Desire.
She blushed visibly at his remark.
Friendship.
We are best friends. So how come it took you all this time to come visit her?
Beautiful World, Where Are You? By Sally Rooney. Starts this evening at 10:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, Sue Perkins is at the helm for another episode of Just a Minute, with a virtual audience joining from their homes all over the country and indeed all over the world.
Welcome to Just a Minute! Hello there, Sue Perkins here. And as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. And of course to welcome our remote audience who join us in the radio theatre from their homes all over the UK and who knows, perhaps even from around the globe. Let me introduce you to the four magnificent, talented, delightful people playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Annika Rice, Dane Baptiste and Lucy Porter. Please generally go whooping and cheering for all four of them. I'm going to be asking them all to speak on a subject that I will give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. So we'll see how that goes. Paul, as ever, we're going to begin with you. And the subject on the card is phone numbers I still remember. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on that topic? Your time starts now.
There are some phone numbers I can still remember. Unfortunately, they involve repetition, but we all know the phone number for the emergency services. 9, ditto, same again. And if you dial that, you find that you'll either get police, ambulance or fire brigade, but you have to decide which one it is that you require. I have my old telephone number in the back of my head, but the first three...
Oh, Annika.
That was a bit of hesitation.
It was a slightest of stumbles.
Sorry, I thought, you know, this is the maestro.
It is the maestro, you know. And you're right, he must be held to a different standard sometimes. Heavy is the crown, Paul, that's all I'll say. All right, I shall give you that. Annika, you get a point, the mildest of hesitations, but well spotted. 38 seconds remaining. Phone numbers I still remember, starting now.
Phone numbers I remember are not many. 116123.
Yes, I'm afraid the maestro is very much back in the game. Paul, your challenge.
Well, I wouldn't have challenged normally, but the previous challenge has sort of put me up to it, to be honest. Repetition of one.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Correct challenge. Paul, you've got 34 seconds remaining on phone numbers I still remember, starting now.
The longest phone number I remember went like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I won't go any further because I can go all the way up to 100, but I'll stop there. Well, I think my favourite...
Lucy.
Well, there was repetition of go. I won't go any further. I could go all the way up to 100.
Oh, well, I should have gone up to 100.
No, I'd got myself comfy there. I thought people just tuning in would have been very confused. I thought, I've tuned in for just a minute, but instead, Paul Merton seems to be counting.
Simple arithmetic, Paul Merton. Yeah.
Yes, a correct challenge, Lucy. Yeah, the repetition was there, so you get the point. You also inherit the subject. 20 seconds on the clock, starting now.
The only phone numbers I still remember are those of my husband and my mum and dad's house from when I was a child. So if I have an emergency and lose my mobile phone and Justin's not in, I'll have to call the people who live there now, who I don't even know. But I'm sure they're very nice people if you're listening.
Yes, Paul.
A repetition of people.
Mm. Absolutely, a repetition there was.
Yeah.
4 seconds remaining, you fiend.
I share everybody's disappointment at home.
Tell us everything you know about phone numbers I still remember, starting now.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
This game has a beautiful way of returning from whence it came. Lovely. Annika.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, my lovely.
I know, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're very, very happy and very honoured to have you.
Thank you.
And your subject is a gleeful one. It's one I hope you know something about. I'm sure you do. It's the joy of painting. Now, you've got 60 seconds. starting now.
The joy of painting, the thrill of cracking open a tin of paint and dipping your brush in that cool, silky liquid, preferably blue. I favour a cobalt or an ultramarine, ocean mist, teal. I paint anything in the house or the garden. Painting stones.
Lucy.
This is really petty, but paint rather than painting.
Yes.
But it was gorgeous. It was almost erotic with silky...
Yeah. Painting is erotic. I was just coming to the erotic bit.
She's like the Nigella of painting, isn't she? That's what she is.
I've never considered blue before to be an erotic colour because it normally reminds me of hypothermia, but now I know where you're coming from.
Well, I suppose the clue's in blue, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it was an incredible and very intense evocation, and you managed to speak on an inaugural topic for 18 seconds, which is very strong going.
Quite excited.
It was correct challenge, Lucy, and you get the subject. You've got 42 seconds on The Joy of Painting, starting now.
The Joy of Painting was a follow-up book to the successful tome The Joy of Sex, but for people who've been married a long time. The joy of painting is that one gets to express oneself creatively. My favourite painter is a man called Bob Ross, who presented a programme where he used to stand in the dark with his lovely beard and his kind face, bringing forth worlds. He was kind of like a god to me.
Dane.
Was there a kind twice?
Yes, there was a kind twice. Well, listened, yeah.
Good work.
I love the fact that his bearded face was visible in the dark. correct challenge. 17 seconds on the clock on The Joy of Painting. Your time starts now.
Intimacy is just one of the joys of painting. There are at least...
Annika.
Yeah, there was just a muddle of words, the hesitation.
Did you sense a winding down?
Yes, I thought I nearly fell asleep at that point.
Oh, that's... Annika, you've gone from novice to seasoned attack dog. In barely a round. Whilst I sense that Dane might have been on the approach road, the slip road to the motorway that is hesitation, he had not met that profound junction yet. So I'm afraid to say, I'm going to say that's an incorrect challenge.
Okay.
Dane keeps the subject with 12 seconds. The joy of painting starting now.
Cathartic would be another adjective I would use to describe the joy of painting, which suffices to say is nothing short of a thousandfold. It allows for people to join themselves together and use their bodies as canvases, thereby allowing for there to be a...
Well done, Dane. You were speaking as the whistle went, means you gained the extra point. In this, one of the most erotically charged episodes of Just a Minute I participated in.
Blue is the warmest colour.
Really? Yeah. I think for Annika it is, yes. Dane, you've finished that subject. You also begin the next. Let's see what we've got in store for you. Reasonable doubts. Can you speak for 60 seconds, please, sir? Your time starts now.
Easily, I could address reasonable doubts because of the fact that reasonable doubts is actually the title of my second show that I took to the Edinburgh Festival, which people know as the largest arts fest. Reasonable doubts was a reference to my fear of the sophomore jinx, where I felt like I would have a reasonable doubt that I'd be able to produce the same magic that allowed me to get nominated for Best Newcomer the first time round. Now, if there's any reasonable doubt, I am bragging as well as saying to the listeners out there, reasonable doubts also doubles and was the main influence of my show based on...
Lucy.
Well, two shows and boasting.
Yes.
Classic Dane.
Bragging has not yet hit the format.
he was right to be proud, but it was, yeah, he showed off too much because he did a show and a show and a show.
I did that preview with you, Lucy Porter.
I made him who he is today, I like to think, really, but...
A correct challenge, Lucy. You get the subject with 30 seconds remaining. The subject is reasonable doubts, starting now.
Reasonable doubts are something that I have every day where I think, should I be wearing this? And normally the answer is no, you probably shouldn't. You are 48 and it is pop socks and hot pants. But still, the reasonable doubts to which this question presumably refers are legal.
Oh, Paul, a challenge.
Well, it's a subject rather than a question.
That is true.
Oh, yes.
So you're
that's
right.
Deviation.
It would be deviation. Yes. I mean, it's fiendish, but he's known for it.
This is multi-layered.
And I had literally no idea where I was going, I'll be honest with you.
I was there with the hot pants and the pop top.
I think Paul sensed that, hence the challenge. But yes, I'd give you that deviation. It's indeed not a question. Paul, you've cannily got in there with 13 seconds on the clock. Reasonable doubts. Your time starts now.
As the team of forensic scientists dug up the patio, I couldn't help but feel feel myself blushing in the moonlight. I knew that my question of reasonable doubt was about to be challenged by the man who I saw as my archenemy. None other...
Paul there speaking as the whistle went means he gains an extra point. And we're with you, Lucy, now. But this is a wonderful subject in which I'm sure you will have much to say. How to become a billionaire. Do you know anything about how to become a billionaire? I guess we will find out. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
How to become a billionaire. I suppose the easiest way would be to start as a trillionaire and just slip a bet.
Annika, you challenged?
I was hooked in the story, Lucy, but I thought it was a bit of a hesitation.
Indeed, yeah. So a correct challenge, Annika. You get a point for that, but you also inherit the subject. How to become a billionaire. 54 seconds, your time starts now.
This is easy. How to become a billionaire. Just take one ITV quiz format and change the word at the end. Therefore, it is easy. You go along.
Paul.
A repetition of easy.
It was a repetition of easy. But again, a canny. I'm not entirely sure that with budgetary restrictions that it's necessarily ready for that format change.
Possibly not. When has logic ever come into this program?
Not into my head, it doesn't. I was very happy with it. Paul, you have the subject, how to become a billionaire. 41 seconds remaining, starting now.
I suppose you have to invent a service that people didn't realise they needed or wanted before this particular thing came into your head.
Annika.
Hesitation, generally.
Yes, a little. I mean, I'm being a little strict on Paul there, but only because I know he can take it. You've got 34 seconds, you get a point for a correct challenge, and you inherit the topic again. Your time starts now.
How to become a billionaire. I'm going to explain it to you, Sue, because you seem to question it. The first round would be ask the audience. Instead of this, you would go out into the street and accost a stranger for the answer. Difficult, you see. If you're going to earn that £1 billion, we've got to make it difficult.
Lucy.
Difficult, difficult.
Repetition of difficult, yes.
Ironically, because the last one was easy.
Yes. You get the subject back, Lucy, so we get to hear about your deflationary measures from being a trillionaire in 15 seconds, starting now.
Jeff Bezos became a millionaire by inventing Amazon. Bill Gates became a millionaire by...
I was going to say repetition of become a, but that is on the card. But was it not a repetition of millionaire rather than billionaire?
Yes, it was.
I just couldn't imagine being a billionaire.
You've deflated yourself, haven't you? You've gone from trillionaire to billionaire to millionaire, sadly.
It's a bad fiscal year for you, Lucy, I've got to be honest with you.
Paul, that was a correct challenge. It was a repetition of millionaire because billionaire's on the subject card. So you've got 9 seconds. How to become a billionaire starting now.
Get yourself a massive paper round and make sure you go round every Christmas and ask...
Oh, Dane.
Repetition of round.
Yeah.
Paper round, go round.
Go around.
Oh, go around.
Around. Okay, that's completely different. I apologise.
I will say that probably round and around was exactly what was said by Paul, but... Because there was some element, perhaps, of not being able to hear that entirely clearly, I'm going to give you a point anyway. But you get to keep the subject, Paul. You've got 6 seconds on how to become a billionaire starting now.
I laid the money down on the table. I counted it note by recommended...
Oh, I sort of felt that on a cellular level.
No, I should have said note by notes, but I didn't.
Yeah. Annika, your challenge.
Oh, yes, it was hesitation.
It was indeed hesitation. You, of course, get a point. You also get the subject back. Can you speak for 1 second on how to become a billionaire starting now?
Yippee!
Well done. Well done. Excellent stuff. Now, before we go into round two, does anybody fancy hearing some scores?
Yeah.
Why not? Let's treat ourselves to some scores. In third place, we have Lucy. In joint second place, we have Paul and Annika. And heading out, currently in the lead, we've got Dane Baptiste. Paul, we're back with you again. This is the Victoria and Albert Museum.
Ah, yes, one of my favourite museums.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful museum. Yep. Can you speak for 60 seconds about hesitation, repetition or deviation on the Victoria and Albert Museum starting now?
I've never been there. I'd be lying if I said I had.
Dave, I wonder what your challenge is, my friend.
Somewhat of a hesitation.
Yeah,
that's only a very slight one.
Yeah.
No, it's only hesitation if I start talking again.
Yes.
I stopped. Termination.
Yeah. Correct challenge, Dave. You've got 58 seconds on the Victorian Albert Museum, starting now.
Various artefacts can be found in the Victorian Albert Museum. I myself can't speak personally from the perspective that may people may desire on this particular show. However, I do frequent a number of the...
Oh, Lucy.
Two particulars.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very particular.
I mean, there's a lot of ooing as if to say that suddenly that's not a part of the rules. It is. Well done, Lucy. A correct challenge. You get a point. You get 46 seconds. On the Victoria and Albert Museum, starting now.
The Victoria and Albert Museum is a glorious, beautiful building that it seems none of the panellists on this show have been inside. I myself do not know the interior of that particular place, but I do know that it's over the road from Harrods, so maybe that's where they nick all their stuff from, like I did. Perhaps it's full of clothing. In fact, I know...
Paul,
is it over the road from Harrods? No. Not really, is it?
No.
But I've never been there, so I don't really know.
No, it's a bit along, I think.
It's a bit along.
It's a bit along.
It's a bit along.
Yes, I mean, I would say deviation from the geography of central London, which, as we know, is a fairly fixed.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, unless someone's been moving Harrods around. So I would say that's a...
Well, I don't know, the way the economy's on, perhaps Harrods has become a mobile tea shop on wheels.
It's become a pop-up opposite the Victoria and Albert Museum.
Yes. Just Mohammed Al-Fayed going, do you want anything? Anything off the trolley?
So I'll give you that yes, Paul, correct challenge. You gain the point. You also gain the subject. 24 seconds. It's back with you again. The Victoria and Albert Museum starting now.
I now know much more about the Victoria and Albert Museum than I did a few seconds ago. I know it's not opposite Harrods for a start. And inside the Victoria and Albert Museum, they recently had an exhibition of David Bowie's stage costumes, reaching all the way back to Ziggy Stardust, including Aladdin Sane and the Thin White Duke. And I believe that if you are interested in popular culture, the Victoria and Albert Museum is the place to visit. You can reach it easily on the London Underground.
Speaking of the whistle, Paul, you gain the point there. Annika, we're with you next. Madame Tussaud. Can you speak on Madame Tussaud? 60 seconds starting now.
I once hung from a stepladder in the foyer of Madame Tussaud's. I was dressed in lycra, suspended from the ceiling. I had my headphones on. I was the first person that bemused tourists saw when they walked into Madame Tussaud's. The man who made me, Steve, beautiful person. He knew every inch of my body. He measured me with calipers.
I mean, once again, you've done it. We're just so captivated. Paul, was that an intervention? I mean, it felt like...
I felt a duty to the great British public.
Yes.
It was hesitation, sadly.
It was hesitation, which means you got the subject 31 seconds, Madame Tussaud.
The first time I went to Madame Tussaud's, I wandered into the Chamber of Horrors and there was a collection of sadistic killers covered in all kinds of different clothing of the period, 1930s or perhaps 40s. Whenever they were available, they would put them on and they'd see these immense wax figures all looking at you in the most horrendous way. The glass eyes seemed to be peering into your soul, as if they were saying to themselves, if I wasn't made out of this waxy substance, I would climb over this fence and I would throttle you by the throat and I would...
Paul, spoke as the whistle went, gets the point. Dane, love is blind. Mm. That's the subject on the card, by the way. I wasn't just embarking on a conversation.
Both those statements work for me, so...
Yes, your time starts... Now.
Love is blind and it will take over your mind. What you feel is love you need to elevate and find is the opening chorus for the song with the same title, Love is Blind, by recording artist Eve alongside equally good recording...
Your challenge, Annika.
It was just a hesitation. It was a
It was a wee hesitation.
I struggle to express myself sometimes when it comes to love.
I know, and you were crying because it was beautiful.
It really was.
There's been a lot of eroticism and lyricism. And counting. Those are the three markers of today's show. So, 46 seconds are available to you on the subject, Annika, of Love is Blind, starting now.
Love is blind and a complete pain, to be honest, on some occasions. I once had a boyfriend who was obsessive. He'd go to the YMCA when I was taking part in an aerobics class, and I'd be thundering around to Tina Turner and look up and see his face pressed against the window. Too much, would you not agree? He went on holiday once and sent me a tape, which I opened when he was on the plane. It was Police, Every Step You Take. Do you see where I'm going with this? I found it really oppressive and quite scary, but a tiny bit of me found it.
Ooh, Lucy.
I think we've had scary twice. Or I was just scared.
I think scared and scary.
Oh, okay.
So it's an incorrect challenge.
Okay.
But in a way, good to just break the tension.
Yes.
I think it's good for reminding everyone it's a light entertainment show. I mean, under the rules of just a minute, you have a bonus point, Lucy. The subject goes back to you, Annika, but if it's particularly emotionally wearisome, I'm very happy to give it to somebody else.
I'm ready.
All right. Yeah. So you've got 11 seconds. Love is Blind, starting now.
There was another boyfriend.
Oh, Lucy.
Thankfully, you did say boyfriend.
Yes, that's right. Boyfriend.
Oh, I couldn't bear to hear about another one, Annika. Can we do it in the pub afterwards, though?
Yeah. So, 9 seconds on Love is Blind, starting now.
Love is blind, and when I met my husband, I didn't notice that he had egg stains on his jumper, terrible shoes, or that he was stealing my hubcaps at the time.
Terrific stuff. You were speaking as the whistle went, Lucy. You get the point and you get the next subject. Ooh. This is one for the very large youth audience of BBC Radio 4. TikTok. Tell us. So we've really hit the demographic squarely there. Can you tell us about TikTok in 60 seconds, starting now?
TikTok is a video platform that my children enjoy. I have watched the things that are on.
Ooh, Annika.
Sorry, was that a fluff?
No, oh. Annika. Absolutely sorry. No. Much as I'm enjoying your eagerness for the game. But no, there was full flow there, which means it's an incorrect challenge. Lucy, you get a point for that. You also carry on with the subject. 54 seconds remaining on TikTok.
The entertainments on TikTok apparently last for 1 minute, although I've never got to the end because I'm just screaming about the state of humanity. All it is young people dancing constantly rather than being felt up in bus stops like we did in my day. Young people on TikTok...
Young people.
Me moaning on about young people again.
Not like my day.
Saturday night, you used to put on your demob suit.
You wouldn't go dancing, would you, Paul?
No.
Wouldn't get any dancing on MySpace. That's what I feel.
TikTok, my friend, you have got 36 seconds, Dane, remaining. Tell us something about that starting now.
Of course, TikTok is an onomatopoeia which describes the fact that it's the sound of a clock to give you a clear indication that by participating in an app and video platform geared towards juveniles such as TikTok, you are doing nothing other than spending your time in a stupid way. You are being feckless and you are being idle.
Paul.
Oh, a repetition, sadly, of you are being.
Yes. You are being.
Got real dogmatic with it. Thanks, Paul.
I like the word feckless. It's never used enough, and it's one of my favourites. Love a bit of it. Paul, you've got 16 seconds on what I'm sure is a specialist subject for you. TikTok, starting now.
I went to school with a boy called George Feckless, and his father was a watchmaker who'd learnt his trade in Geneva. And one day I went round to his house and he said to me, "Would you like to see my daddy operate the inside of a clock?" And I said, "Yes." And so slowly picked up the key, put it into the lock.
Speaking, as he so often does, as the whistle went, gets that point. Scores, always a tight-run thing. In third place, we have Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
In joint second place, we've got Dane and Annika. And in the lead, we have Paul Merton. And we're into the final round. To really work for that, but thank you for going with it.
It's a sort of noise I used to make on Sail of the Century and the curtains came back and there was a caravan there.
Dane, cap catchy lyrics. You've got 60 seconds on catchy lyrics, starting now.
Catchy lyrics are the difference between having a hit and obscurity within the music industry. Catchy lyrics make up every song that ends up being for radio play within the world of entertainment on stage that involves some kind of sonic soundscape behind your recording when you visit a studio.
Dane, you are allowed to breathe in the game. Beautiful. Your words per minute is incredible.
I should be slowing down, really.
Lucy, you challenged there.
I felt deviation had occurred and a little bit of hesitation.
A little bit of a winding down. So I'll give you that. With 42 seconds, you've got catchy lyrics, Lucy, starting now.
Catchy lyrics are hard to render in this game because repetition is often involved. For example, Yellow Submarine by the Beatles could also be known as a jaundiced U-boat. And if they had had to put that in the song, it definitely wouldn't have been a hit. The Beatles had...
Stupid woman, Dane.
Beatles.
The Beatles, indeed. You get it back, Dane.
So there was something rather charming about we all live in a jaundiced U-boat.
I'm having to repeat it.
We all live in a jaundiced U-boat.
You get it back, as I say, Dane. 25 seconds on catchy lyric starting now.
Vermilion subaquatic instrument would also not be a great catchy lyric to the song Yellow Submarine, which was previously recorded by a four-man quartet that some of you will know comprised of people like John Lennon and George Harrison and Ringo Starr, to name a few of the guys responsible for coming up with the amazing catchy lyrics that led to them being a worldwide...
Paul.
Well, you've not mentioned the man who wrote the song, which was Paul McCartney.
I was getting to that!
Oh, I see.
Well, do you all you Paul stick together?
Probably not deviation, though, is it?
I'm going to take Dane's word that he was going to get round to the wonderful Paul McCartney.
Yes.
So, incorrect challenge, you get a point, Dane. You also get the subject back with 4 seconds remaining on catchy lyrics.
How could I forget Paul McCartney when it comes to catchy lyrics?
Paul!
Well, I don't know how, but you did. I don't know.
There's only one Paul for me. And if you can't see that, love is blind, sir.
I enjoyed that, Paul. You get a bonus point. But I am going to give the subject back to Dane. So you've got 2 seconds now on catchy lyrics starting now.
Catchy lyrics that you hear on a song like...
Yeah. Congratulations, Dane, speaking as the whistle went. And that means, because that was the last subject on the cards, that it's time for scores. In fourth place, playing an absolute blinder, considering it was the first outing, Annika Rice. Well done. Really strong work. In third position, we've got Lucy Porter. Congratulations, Lucy.
Thank you.
In second place, a fantastic showing from Dane Baptiste. Which we can say our winner this week is the wonderful Paul Merton. And there, my lovelies, I'm afraid we are going to have to leave you. But first of all, again, big thanks to all our players, to Paul, Annika, Dane and Lucy. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this show. And of course, to the wonderful, the incomparable Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so wonderfully. The producer was Hayley Sterling, and it was a BBC Studios production. And this is Sue Perkins saying thank you for listening. And please do join us again when we play Just a Minute.
And the Just a Minute team will be back, of course, at the same time next week. Joy brings worrying news